there.
Thank you for calling Copper Conferencing. Please stay on the line. An attendant will be with you momentarily. Thank you.
Thank you for your patience. Please stay on the line for the next available operator.
Thank you for holding. My name is Mike. How may I help you?
Hi, Mike. I'm calling for the Clean Energy Corps call.
Clean Energy. All right. I can help you with that. May I have your name, please?
Sure. It's John, and the last name's Neuroher, N-E-U-R-O-H-R.
All right. John Neuroher, N-E-U-R-O-H-R.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. May I have your company name, please?
Yeah. It's the Center for American Progress.
Are you a speaker or a listener today?
I'm a listener.
Listener? Mm-hmm. All right. At the conference, I'll go ahead and place you. Thank you.
That's great. Thanks very much, Mike.
Good morning, and welcome to the teleconference on Clean Energy Corp. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode. I would now like to turn the call over to Jason Walsh. Jason, you may begin.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, folks. My name is Jason Walsh. I'm the National Policy Director for Green for All. Thank you for joining us. We're here today to unveil a proposal. We call it the Clean Energy Corp, which is an ambitious and integrated job creation, job training, and service effort. It would, at the same time, combat global warming, grow local economies, and demonstrate the equity and employment promise of a clean energy economy. We also think it can be a signature initiative that captures the imagination of this country, unites key constituencies, and motivates millions to act. The proposal's been developed over the course of the last year by the Clean Energy Corps Working Group, a broad collaboration of different organizations, and we are very pleased to be joined today by a great lineup of speakers who will talk about why the Clean Energy Corps is so important for this country. Let me list off those speakers. I'll give you a little bit of logistical information, and then we'll go from there. Our first speaker will be Bracken Hendricks, a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, followed by Van Jones, president and founder of Green for All, Joel Rogers, director of the Center on Wisconsin Strategy, Ted Green, advisor to the general president of the Laborers International Union of North America, Jesse Tolkien, executive director for the Energy Action Coalition, and batting cleanup or something close to that. We have a privilege of being joined by the governor of Kentucky, Steve Beshear, who will wrap it up. And at that point, after these folks have talked briefly, we'll turn it back over to the operator, who will tell you how to do the Q&A. If reporters have any questions that aren't addressed on the call, or if you want further information, please contact John Newroer. His contact information is on the media advisor, but just to flag it here, his phone number is 202-481-8182, and you'll find his email address on the advisory. So without further ado, let me turn this over to my colleagues, and I'll ask Bracken to start us off.
Thanks very much, Jason. I'm Bracken Hendricks. I'm a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. We're a nonpartisan, multi-issue think tank in Washington, D.C., focused on building a more progressive economy, investing in people and communities, creating good jobs, and a stronger and more vibrant economy overall. We have looked very closely at issues of investing in the transition to a clean, low-carbon energy economy, and see that as the foundation of American competitiveness, of where we need to go as a country. And interestingly, and increasingly, we are looking at the need to rebuild as a driver of job creation and as the principal solution to the growing climate crisis. We've been working in partnership with the other groups on this call, with Green for All, the Center on Wisconsin Strategy, Energy Action, and then the Apollo Alliance, a number of organizations, working to advance a proposal for the creation of clean energy corps. Nationally, we believe that linking a call to national service around work in the doing the work of building a low-carbon economy can be merged with investment in workforce development and job training to create strong new green jobs in the building and construction trades and in providing new energy services that use energy more efficiently and bring clean, low-carbon energy online by installing renewables and using green building technology. This needs to be matched with a very significant effort to fund these projects, and that is a critical addition to this conversation. As we are starting to have a serious debate nationally about how to move investment to drive the economic recovery, clearly retrofitting our stock of buildings is a place where we can create tremendous benefits in creating jobs and providing pathways into the middle class and secure access to high skill and high wage jobs. There are over 300 billion square feet of stock in the United States, and that accounts for 43% of all energy consumed. That's a larger share than transportation or industry. And 76% of all power plant generated electricity is used just to operate buildings. And within this, the residential sector is key. But for a long time, we've made great inroads on improving the energy efficiency and the performance of new buildings with tools like green building standards, but we really haven't had a way to go and systematically block by block retrofit and weatherize homes so that consumers pay less money to create the good jobs in the construction trades and to improve the health of the residents of those buildings. Today, Governor Beshear will tell you more about a project that he's been engaged in to create exactly such a clean energy corps in the state of the Commonwealth of Kentucky to engage people who need jobs in the work of retrofitting buildings. We've come together to create a pilot program that we believe can be scaled nationally. It's being demonstrated in states and cities around the country now how weatherization and energy efficiency retrofits can create good jobs, save consumers money, and critically at this time of a major economic and housing crisis, it can also saving money on bills can help people actually stay in their homes. Very significant energy cost savings of hundreds of dollars to thousands of dollars a year can result from these sorts of retrofits. So it's good for the economy, it's good for consumers, it's good for the environment, and it's exactly the sort of change that we need right now to invest in jump-starting the economy. With that, I will turn it, I guess I'll turn it back to the moderator, Jason Walsh.
Thank you, Bracken. Van?
I am Van Jones. I am the president and founder of Green for All. We are a national organization. We are working to build an inclusive green economy that's strong enough to lift millions of people out of poverty. We have a huge focus on green jobs, and we're very excited about this Clean Energy Corps proposal, which we think is the most comprehensive and smart way to get hundreds of thousands of people working, retrofitting America. Where things stand right now with regard to the idea of retrofitting millions of buildings and weatherizing homes across the country, the need is here. The presidential vision is here. As a result of the recovery, even the dollars are here, but the trained workers are not yet here. So we have the vision, we have the need, we have the dollars, but the process by which we will actually upskill workers to do all this work has not been fully developed. The Clean Energy Corps is a proposal that both in the short term and over the very long term can fill that gap and create green pathways out of poverty for people who right now don't have work, at the same time cutting carbon emissions and cutting energy bills across the country. The way that this proposal works is very simple. We sometimes call it an iPod for energy efficiency solutions, in that it's one proposal, but it does three things very well. The three-step process is green service, green job training, and green jobs. The green service component is very simple and straightforward. There are already lots of programs in the country that allow people to engage in service activities with conservation corps, the core network, things like youth bills, where especially young people get hands-on skills and team building and life skills, and also get a chance to maybe do some land conservation activities, other green stuff, building green buildings, et cetera. We want to grab those programs and grow them so that there, many, many more people can have that experience. And we see that as the first step of job readiness toward getting job training, the second step. We want people to be able to go from those service opportunities where they get exposed to the values and the job readiness skills directly into job training. Right now that doesn't happen. So people do the service and then they're done. We want them to do the service and then be able to go into a job training program at a community college or apprenticeship program or vocational school, and be given the tools and the training and the technology to then go right into green jobs. And those jobs would be primarily in retrofitting buildings. I will leave it to my colleague Joel Rogers to explain how that work can be done, retrofitting buildings in a way that pays for itself. And I'm happy to take questions at the end of this call. Green for All is very excited about the opportunity to help disadvantaged people have access to green service and then green job training and then green jobs.
Thank you, Van. Joel?
Sure. Hi, I'm Joel Rogers. I teach at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I direct two organizations there, one of which was involved in the Clean Energy Working Group. It's called COWS, the Center on Wisconsin or World or Worker or whatever you want for the W strategy. It's an applied research center and think do tank on high road economic development. As Van said, I just wanted to speak on the financing of this. Van also said that the dollars were here. Some of the dollars are here, and certainly the stimulus gives us a great head start. And the critical need is indeed to get the training in place and get the operations plans in place to do this. But not all the dollars are here, and we're going to need more in the future. So I want to speak on how those might be found. As Bracken mentioned, U.S. buildings account for about 40% of U.S. energy consumption. That's bigger than the share of transportation or industry. They're also so big, if we're so big as an economy, that they account totally for about 10% of global greenhouse gas emissions. So we're talking about a big target here. They are grossly inefficient, and they waste hundreds of billions of dollars annually in consumer energy expenditures, as well as vastly greater health and productivity losses on building occupants. But in just in dollars alone, easy dollars to register alone, it's about buildings cost us about $400 billion annually just to pay your utility bills. They can be improved tremendously through in cost-effective ways with proven technologies that we're talking in. Not bleeding-edge technologies here, but not even cutting-edge, but just off-the-shelf technologies. And the technology, of course, is developing rapidly. Gains are of 50% or more are available through application of known efficiency measures on a simple cost, simple terms, that is not taking into account the cost of capital. Gains of about 25% in their efficiency are available even if you take the cost of capital into account. So what we're trying to do is to devise mechanisms, and different states are, some background noise here, different states are beginning to do this at scale. We're trying to do it in particular in metropolitan areas where we can get the cost-effective application of these efficiency and distributed generation measures to building stocks in a way and at a scale where added with the public capital added in, you can actually attract private capital to the effort. And that the essence of that is to, in different ways, recover some of the savings that you're betting on in order to get that private capital and get them some sort of reasonable rate of return. Probably not hedge fund rates of return, but something certainly reasonable at today's climate, 6 to 7%. And we feel we could do that. The numbers actually work. This is not just a matter of slideshows, but the spreadsheets. You can pencil it out. And that will enable us, we think, through a combination of the private capital and the public capital to get the capital together that's needed to retrofit the basically the entire national building stock. The effect of that's probably about a $700 billion effort. We're trying to attract pension funds and other more patient sources of capital to the effort, and we think that there's really no limit, unless you think of $1 trillion as a limit, to the amount of job generation, savings for consumers, health benefits, and building life benefits that this will create. I should say finally that buildings are concentrated in certain places. Those places are called cities, where people are concentrated, and in cities in particular, they average about 60% of the total energy consumption. So I think a natural focus of our effort, in particular, to deal with the inclusion concerns and interests of the Clean Energy Corps, will be our metropolitan areas.
Well, thanks very much, and let's turn it over to Ted Green. Ted?
Good morning. This is Ted Green. I'm advisor to the General President of the Laborers International Union of North America, which is affiliated with the Building and Construction Trades Department of the AFL-CIO and with Change to Win. Our interest in residential weatherization is to secure four objectives. First, we want to represent workers and to achieve for them family-supporting pay levels. We want to end the drive toward being a low-wage economy in this area. Secondly, we want to create career paths. Rather than have short-term weatherization jobs that are 6 weeks and then gone, we want to create paths where people can be trained to do not only weatherization work in the residential industry, but then general residential construction work. We're interested in people who have an interest in a career in that industry. Third, we want to recruit and train these workers. This union has a long history of recruiting from within inner city communities. We have the training capacity nationwide to train people in a comprehensive way. We want to use these facilities and this history in this area to recruit the workforce for this body of work. And finally, we want to do this at scale. To this point, over the last 30 years, weatherization work has been, in this country, has been largely on a scale that does not permit us to even contemplate success at what we're now trying to do through the stimulus package. We believe that in order to achieve that scale, we will need to have signatory contractors who are dedicated to this branch of work, and we want to do it through organized labor, which has the training capacity to deliver at this scale. These important objectives will not be secured by happenstance. It needs a structure. We are proud to support the Clean Energy Corps because we believe it is reasonably calculated to succeed in delivering a vehicle and a structure that will accomplish objectives that will otherwise go unmet. And for that reason, we're pleased to be a part of this project. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much. Jesse?
I'm Jesse Tolkien. I'm the executive director for the Energy Action Coalition. We are a coalition of 50 organizations made up of young people all across the United States that are united in their fight for a clean and just energy future. We are so proud to be part of the Clean Energy Corps, and tomorrow there will be nearly 11,000 young people representing every state in this country and nearly every congressional district descending upon Washington, D.C., to come and send a very clear message to our newly elected United States Congress that we want the passage of bold climate and energy legislation in 2009. And amongst the many clear demands that young people from every background across this country will be sending to their elected officials as we fill the halls of Congress on Monday, March 2nd, is what a critical piece the Clean Energy Corps will be in ushering in the clean and just energy future that our nation and our world so desperately need. There really is an emerging movement in this country and a generation that is looking to be at the forefront of that movement. As the most diverse generation in American history, the Energy Action Coalition is reflective of that diversity. From young people on college campuses to young people in low-income communities to sons and daughters of former coal miners, sons and daughters of former auto workers, we are a generation that has the most at stake right now. Troubled economy worries us as we enter the workforce. Continuing threats of global climate change and science that only gets scarier by the minute makes us the most at risk for inheriting a planet that will not be able to sustain the kind of future we want. And we see the Clean Energy Corps as the perfect kind of program that really does combine job creation, pathways out of poverty for millions of Americans, opportunities to directly address global warming by implementing really important efficiency projects all across the country, and important service opportunities for America's youth. We are so proud of the partners that are involved with the Clean Energy Corps, are thrilled that this program, after so much time spent by these partners, is being unveiled at this critical moment when we really do need programs on this scale that are bold and are visionary and address so many of the priorities of the American people, and are proud that we're able to send 11,000 committed young people from a generation that just voted in record numbers last November to Capitol Hill next week to be advocating for the passage of a Clean Energy Corps.
Jesse, thank you. And to wrap up this part of the call, I'm pleased to have join us the Governor of the Commonwealth of Kentucky, Governor Steve Beshear. Governor?
Thank you very much. This is a very exciting day in the Commonwealth of Kentucky because today we are taking these wonderful ideas and objectives that have been talked about here at this news conference and turning them into realities. Just a few minutes ago, we launched our pilot project of Kentucky's Clean Energy Corps by the First Lady and I lending our elbow grease to an energy efficiency rehabilitation of a low-income home in Lexington, Kentucky. And this is the first of 100 house rehabs that we will be doing in Central Kentucky as a part of the pilot stage of this initiative. Our pilot program is joining up government, the business community, the labor community, housing, and environmental activists in really three central missions. First, to make these homes 20 to 30% more energy efficient, which will save low-income families money and also protect the environment. Secondly, we're promoting easy, everyday steps that all citizens can take to capture energy savings and reduce carbon emissions in their homes. And finally, we're engaging Kentuckians, particularly our youngest and greenest generation, in volunteer service for their neighbors and their communities. In this pilot 100 low-income rehab effort, we're taking 100 low-income families in Lexington and rural Bourbon and Clark counties, and they will receive an energy audit, energy efficiency education, a thorough energy efficiency rehabilitation, including insulation, replacement of inefficient appliances, and the repair and replacement of roof, siding, and foundation. Selected homes in this pilot program will test some cutting-edge efficiency and renewable energy strategies, such as solar water heating. Our utilities are working with us, and because of that, smart energy meters will be provided for easy-to-access monitoring and documenting of real-time energy usage to track our savings and our efficiencies. You know, the ultimate goal that we have of this pilot project is to expand this effort, a dramatic expansion of Kentucky's Clean Energy Corps in the coming months. We are going to use federal stimulus dollars. We're getting over $70 million in weatherization money alone, and we're hoping to expand to reach 10,000 homes all across the Commonwealth in the coming year. One major consequence of that will be creating thousands of new high-paying green-collar jobs to service the auditing and the energy efficiency improvements of homes over the long term. We're working already with our community college system, with our apprentice programs, through our Friends in Labor and others, to establish in our state a center and centers for the training, the creation, and development of these green-collar jobs. You know, over the past several weeks, there's been a lot of discussion about the merits of President Obama's stimulus package. Well, this Kentucky Clean Energy Corps is a perfect example of how stimulus funds can and will be used to stimulate our economy and to create well-paid 21st century jobs, and at the same time, to lend a hand to those who are suffering most in today's financial crisis. So I salute the president for creating these kinds of funds for our use, and I salute all of you that are working with us to help make the Kentucky Clean Energy Corps a reality and to reach out to about 2,000 Kentucky home owners in the process.
Governor, thank you very much. We've covered a lot of ground in this first 25 minutes, but if reporters have any questions, we want to give you an opportunity to ask them. Operator, can you explain how that works?
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Questions will be taken in the order they were received. If at any time your question has been answered, you can remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Please hold while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from Max Lugan of American University. Please go ahead.
Hello, this question is for Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear. Mr. Governor, I'd like to know what inspired you to start the Kentucky Clean Energy Corps, and if you have ambitions to expand it beyond the pilot program.
Yes. Over the last few months, I have developed Kentucky's first ever comprehensive energy plan for our state. Obviously, we've traditionally been a coal state. We have a lot of coal as a natural resource, and it has provided economic stimulus for us over the years, and of course it provides about 50% of the electricity all across the country. But we realize, number one, that we cannot continue to be captive to fossil fuels in terms particularly of those that we obtain from foreign countries. As a national strategy, we have got to become more energy independent. Secondly, we've got to make some real strides in cleaning up our environment. And we recognize, along with almost everybody around the country, that to do that, we have got to clean up the greenhouse gas emissions. And if we're going to continue to burn coal, which we obviously want to do, we've got to develop clean coal technologies in order to have a market for that coal in the future. But we've got to expand far beyond fossil fuels in this country over the next few years in terms of energy production. And we are moving very aggressively in going toward renewable resources, fuels, and this plan of ours has some goals in it. And, you know, traditionally, Kentucky has been one of the biggest users of energy, mainly because it's been so cheap. And we've got to do better than that here in Kentucky. We have a goal that by 2025, almost 20%, I think 18% of our energy will come from energy efficiency. So we're making a very aggressive push in the energy efficiency area. This Kentucky Clean Energy Corps fits so well into our hopes for the future and our plans for the future. This pilot project is going to reach out to 100 homes, but we're hopeful with the help of stimulus money and the help of other public and private partners to expand this effort to reach out to 10,000 homes in the Commonwealth. If we do that and we make every one of these homes 20 to 30% more efficient, think about the energy footprint, the carbon footprint that we can reduce in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Think about the bills that will go down for a lot of our low-income families from an energy standpoint. Think about the energy they will save. Think about the value of their homes going up. Think about the jobs we create by pushing this kind of effort.
Thank you, Governor. Let's turn to another question from a reporter.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlin Rosengarten, who's a journalist. Please go ahead.
Hi, yes. This question is from Mr. Jones with Green for All. Mr. Jones, I was wondering, how does Green for All plan to push the idea of the Clean Energy Corps in Washington?
Well, we are lucky to be in a coalition with a number of organizations, some of them on the phone right now, including the Energy Action Coalition, Center for American Progress, and many others. And, you know, we think that there are going to be opportunities to, both in the energy bill and in other legislative opportunities, to get this idea taken up seriously. I got a chance yesterday. I was testifying in front of a committee on service. Usher was there, so I'm sure you probably got some Google hits or search engine hits because of his presence. But we mentioned there and promoted there the idea that we need a clean energy core to align all these efforts that, you know, people are so excited about. But we know that it takes real intention and alignment to make sure that all the dollars are spent well and that they all stack up to have the maximum possible impact on carbon emissions, unemployment, and on poverty. And so we will be working to get more sponsors for the Clean Energy Corps in D.C. And we think that thanks to the leadership of Kentucky, there will be more interest in what we're trying to do.
Thank you, Van. Let's turn to any other questions.
Once again, as a reminder, if you would like to pose a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. There appears to be no further questions at this time.
Well, I want to thank our wonderful lineup of speakers, Bracken Hendricks, Dan Jones, Joel Rogers, Ted Green, Jesse Tolkien, and Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear, for joining us on this call today, and to thank all of you for taking the time. I'll remind you that if you want further information, please contact John Neuroer. And his contact information is available on the advisory. You can also, for further information, go to the Green for All website, www.greenforall.org, where you'll find further information about the Clean Energy Corps, and we'll get updates as we begin to move this process legislatively. And with that, I will wrap this up, and thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes today's teleconference. Thank you for attending and have a great day.